I had a different introduction prepared for my message tonight than what I'm going to share with you now. I was sitting at my desk this morning after I had my devotions and breakfast and gone through my messages a couple of times. I had a few moments and I wanted to check and see what was going on Facebook, and I found a post on Facebook that just caught my attention. I said, that's far better than what I had prepared, and I want to share it to you with you tonight. It's a little sign that starts out this way. I told my son, you will marry the girl I choose. He said, no. I told him, she's Bill Gates' daughter. He said, okay. I called Bill Gates and said, I want your daughter to marry my son. He said, no. I told Bill Gates, my son is the CEO of World Bank. He said, okay. I called the president of World Bank and asked him to make my son the CEO. He said, no. I told him he is Bill Gates' son-in-law. He said, okay. And that's exactly how politics works. Start out with a lie to gain someone's interest, affections, in this case, marriage. And it's built upon another lie and another. All for political gain or financial gain or some kind of gain. And it's unfortunate, but oftentimes that is how politics work. Yes? Often is. But that's nothing new to this day and age. In fact, it's been happening for literally millennia. And it was happening back in Nehemiah's day. And I want us to take a look at it and consider the seriousness and the complications of these things. Tonight, we're going to finish up Nehemiah chapter 6. We finished last time at verse 14, so we should start tonight at verse 15. But actually, I want to start at verse 17, and then I'll pick up 15 and 16 at the end. Verse 17 says, moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah, and his son Johanan was taken, or had taken, the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me to fear. Here we have a man by the name of Tobiah. We have seen his name pop up throughout the book of Nehemiah on numerous occasions. And just refresh my memory, who is Tobiah? How is he referred to in the book of Nehemiah? In his relationship to the people of Israel? Well, since you didn't answer, go back to verse 1 of chapter 6. Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies. Tobiah was an enemy of the people of God. And the sad thing is, here in verse 17 it says, many of the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and letters of Tobiah came unto them, for there were many in Judah sworn, or pledging allegiance unto him, unto the enemy of all people. Why in the world would they pledge allegiance to an enemy? I have four different reasons. One of them is found right here in verse 18. And that is because of family priorities. You're given a little genealogy of Tobiah that's here, and it helps if you try and put this in a picture so that you can understand. There's Tobiah, and Tobiah had a wife, And according to verse 18, his wife was the son of Shechaniah. And Shechaniah was the son of a man named Arah. Tobiah and his wife had a son. His name is Johanan. He also took a wife, and his wife was the daughter of Meshulam, who was the son of Berechiah. There's your family tree all parsed out for you there. Now, let me ask you a question. Tobiah's wife is not named. But if it came to a question of obeying her father or obeying her husband, who would she pledge allegiance to more easily? Her husband. Why? She's got to live with him. She's moved out of dad's house. She's got to live with her husband. So her allegiances are going to be naturally with him. Okay. Shechaniah. When it comes to his allegiance to his daughter or to his nation, where do you suppose his daughter? Why? Family. Exactly it. Okay. Tobiah and his wife have a son. Who do you think his son is going to favor more? Mom or dad? Uh-oh, we have division here. Dad is going to be the one who's going to do the instruction. I would think that Johanan was indoctrinated by his father, who was, let me repeat this, the enemy of Israel. He marries a wife who is the daughter of Meshulam, who is the daughter of Berechiah. If it comes to a choice between obeying her father and her husband, who's going to win on that one? Husband. When it comes to a choice between Meshulam favoring his daughter or his nation? His daughter. Complicated family priorities. And unfortunately, in all these things, the nation of Israel, the people of God, lose. Why would Tobiah marry a woman of Jewish descent if he is an enemy? Well, political gain. I've noted a number of times, Solomon and his 700 wives didn't marry all 700 women because he was madly in love with them, but because of the political advantage that he would have for peace with the nations around him. What king would invade Israel when his daughter was married to the king? Political advantage. That's all it was. Well, Tobiah was looking, okay, here's these Jewish people. They could revolt. They could do this. But if I marry one of them, that's going to keep that from happening. Who you marry, or if you marry, is the second most important decision that you will ever make in life. Apart from knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, there is nothing more important than the person or if you marry. God has spoken to those things. In New Testament, we have 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, "And be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." I have heard people say, well, if I marry an unbeliever, I will have far more opportunity to win them to the Lord. Well, if that's the case, Solomon should have converted half the world. Fact of the matter is, they stole his heart from serving the Lord. It doesn't work that way. Not only were there family priorities that were messed up, I think there were some foolish promises believed. Tobiah came in and said, look, you guys are impoverished. Well, that's true. You guys are undefended. That's true. You guys really need us. That's not true. And consequently, if you're kind enough, you pledge allegiance to us, we'll protect you. Interesting, in prophetic history, there is coming a time when there is going to be a man who will negotiate a treaty with the nation of Israel, who will promise to protect the nation. His name is Antichrist. Tobiah was a type of the Antichrist, making a foolish promise that they believed. Thirdly, they were faithless fears. You know what? We are a small people. We are impoverished. They are strong. They're militarily powerful. They're in control. If we give ourselves to them, they won't hurt us. That is like Israel today saying the people on the West Bank are really friendly people. We should tear down our defenses. Faithless fears. Who is their defender? The Lord Himself. Finally, there's a false fidelity. It comes right out of the faithless fears because they really didn't trust God. Although they said we're the people of God, that was only a name. That was only a title. Interestingly enough, when you get into the New Testament, the Lord Jesus spoke on the differences between the family of God and a person's physical family. In Matthew chapter 10, he says these words, and let me grab it here quickly. Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 32, he says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." I got news for you, folks. You've heard this before. I love my wife with all my heart. I was fortunate. I got a godly woman to marry me. I thought somebody would say amen. Thank you. My wife appreciates that. I love my wife with everything, but there better be one that I love more. She would be the first to say, amen. Why? Because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. As much as my wife loves me and I love her, there is one who loves each of us even more. In fact, infinitely more. And if I put my faith and fidelity and trust and obedience and following to someone on this earth, even my wife, who I love with all my heart, above that which belongs to God, I am out of His will. That's a tough one. These guys had it rough. They've now pledged allegiance on the human level that has destroyed their allegiance to God. Well, how did they betray Nehemiah? Come back to Nehemiah and look what they did. Verse 19 says, "And they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words unto them." They discouraged Nehemiah with reports of just how wonderful a guy Tobiah is. He's a family man. He's an upstanding citizen of the Ammonites. And maybe those things were true. Problem? He was the enemy of God's people. And that's a big problem. You will hear, oftentimes, reports of how good the unsaved world is. Interesting, the Ark thing opened up this week. Guess who had a personalized tour of it? Bill Nye, the science guy. was invited by Ken Ham to come out and take a tour of this. Well, Bill Nye, he is the science guy, right? If anyone knows science, it's Bill Nye, right? Wrong. Bill Nye has a philosophical basis of science that says there is nothing supernatural. Bill Nye ultimately denies, I don't know that he would necessarily come out and say that, but ultimately he denies the working of God. And you see, all science, by the way, the word science literally means knowledge. All knowledge is founded upon the revelation of God. Bill Nye says, no, all knowledge is founded upon the inquiries of men, whose hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. But that doesn't really matter. They were telling Nehemiah just how wonderful a guy Tobiah is. Not only that, they were telling Tobiah exactly what Nehemiah was planning to do. They were subverting his operations by telling the enemy what's going on here. So every time Nehemiah would go to make a move, Tobiah would know before he gets the job started exactly what's going to happen. Created all kinds of complications. And there were attacks of the enemy. That makes things difficult. So what do you do? What did Nehemiah do in order that the will of God would be accomplished? What do you do when family is out of the will of God? Three things I want to encourage you that Nehemiah did, not necessarily specifically stated, but I think at least implied, if not necessitated. Number one, determine who really is family. Matthew chapter 3, verse 31, Jesus was out preaching, and they said, your mother and your brethren, they want to see you. Guess what his question was? Who's my mother? Who's my brother and sisters? Well, they're your family. No, he said, the one that does my Father's will, that's my family. You need to determine who really is family, first and foremost. Secondly, draw some lines of demarcation. This is what I will do. This is what I will not do. Sometimes that puts you in a very precarious position. Within our family, extended family, there are some things that are permitted that won't be permitted in my house. And in this world in which we're living today, oh boy, there are a lot of things that are being prohibited or permitted that should be prohibited within the realm of the lifestyle of a Christian. Will you draw the line, or will your line be fuzzy? Now, let's face it. Ara, he was the great-grandfather of Johanan. How much interaction did he have? Oh, by the way, these fellas, Shechaniah, he was one of the builders of the wall. He's one of the nobles. Meshulam, one of the nobles, builders of the wall. Ara, if you go into the genealogy in chapter 7, and we're going to kind of skip over that, but if you have your Bible open there, in verse 10 it says, the children of Ara, 652. Now obviously they are not all sons and daughters. That would be grandsons and granddaughters and great-grandsons and great-granddaughters and his whole descendant there. But he was the patriarch of a pretty large clan of people. Consequently, he had a whole lot of power. How much time do you think he spent with Johanan? Probably not a whole lot. Did he spend more time with Shechaniah? Ah. And consequently, there's going to be a greater... Well, you're going to spend greater time with the immediate family. What are you going to allow? What are you not going to allow? That might loosen up as you get farther and farther away. But you have the lines of demarcation. This I will allow, this I will not. This pleases God, this doesn't. Thirdly, finally, depend wholly upon God to do good. How do I know that? Well, let's go back to verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. Can you imagine that? We're not talking Caterpillar tractors or anything along those lines. No mechanized things they had going on there. Just plain old people out there lifting bricks and lifting timbers and doing things by hand. And in 52 days, the entire wall of Jerusalem is built. That's amazing. Verse 16, and it came to pass that when our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, that were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Even the enemy said, not much we can do to fight that one. God has done something wonderful. Well, it wasn't wonderful to them, but it was wonderful. Determine who really is family, who your allegiances apply to. God first, family first. God first, family first. God first, right? Okay. What will I allow? What won't I allow? And then depend on God to do good. Who knows? Maybe your son will marry Bill Gates' daughter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this instruction here tonight. For we live in a difficult world. A world that has, for the most part, cast you off and is not willing to listen to any of your decrees concerning life. How it should be lived. Believing, knowing, theorizing that the wisdom of man is far better than these ancient commandments, directives from an old, old book written by men, so to speak. When in reality it is the wisdom of an infinitely holy, omniscient God. And everything that's in there, rightly applied, brings life, liberty, and joy. Lord, in the difficult interpersonal workings of family relationships, may we be so committed to your authority and sovereignty in our lives that, like Tobiah, Sanballat, and all the other enemies of God, might see as you fulfill your will in our lives a wonderful work of God being accomplished, and then may you be glorified by it. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.